Maybe this has happened to you. You open up a Facebook or Instagram post and see a picture from an old classmate or coworker. 45 minutes later, you look up to realize you've been sucked into a black hole of pictures of their beautiful new house or the awesome vacation they just took. Then you think something along the lines of, man, I wish my house looked that good, or when's the last time I was on a beach? Our next guest says that unhappy feeling you get is pretty common, and it's one that a whole generation of young people are contending with day in and day out. Donna Freitas is non-resident research associate at the University of Notre Dame's Center for the Study of Religion and Society. She's the author of multiple fiction and nonfiction books. Out in paperback this month, her latest nonfiction is The Happiness Effect: How Social Media is Driving a Generation to Appear Perfect at Any Cost. Donna, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you started off writing a book about social media, and you realized pretty early on this is actually a book about happiness. How did that change?
Well, I actually only had one direct question that I asked all of my interview participants about happiness, and that was at the very end of the interview. But what I found was it didn't really matter what I asked college students about. If it had to do with social media or smartphones, part of their answer had to do with happiness.
And you, in writing this book, you talk to college students all over the country. This is based on, you have anecdotes of their stories of lots and lots of one-on-one conversations with actual students about their social media lives, right?
Yes, I traveled all over the country, and the interviews were done through random sampling. So these weren't college students who were like, pick me, I want to talk to you about social media. Like, these were students who I was like, please come do my interview. So I think the data I have is very solid. And what just became very clear was that students kept bringing up happiness in all of their answers. And the thing that I noticed most, or that I found so interesting as I was going from interview to interview, was how they were talking about happiness. Because they weren't talking about how, oh, being on social media or being on Facebook or Instagram makes me so happy or it makes me unhappy. They were making a specific comment about real happiness versus the appearance of happiness. And they kept talking about how when you're online, when you're on social media, it's really important to appear happy. So much so that I had students saying things like, you know, online it's like a happiness competition. And I had students who made these sarcastic faces and comments where, you know, were like, oh, you have to go online and put on a happy face. And I just heard this all over the place, no matter where I went.
One of your interviewees said, here's a quote you shared in the book, people share the best versions of themselves, then we compare that to the worst versions of ourselves. So we're comparing our actual everyday lives to the ideal life that everybody else is portraying online.
Yeah, so I heard something like that from so many different students. And the student that you quoted was this student who I called Emma in the book. And she was really startling to me because she was, you know, like the queen bee on campus at her big Southern university. She was vice president of her sorority, and they were the top sorority on campus. And so she had, you know, the life that all the other women on campus envy. And here she was in this interview, and she was talking about how hard it was to go online all the time because it was such a hit to her self-esteem. And she said, I know everybody's lying. I know everybody is just pretending that they have this incredible, successful, amazing life and all of these friends, and they go to all these parties and they have a million boyfriends. And, you know, she went on and she said, I know that because I do that too. Like, I pretend just like everybody else. However, you know, when I pick up my phone or when I, you know, go on my laptop, you know, I'm still just me. And, you know, I'm having a bad hair day, or I'm feeling really lonely. And I keep telling myself these are all lies, but it doesn't change the fact that when I see so much success and perfection and happiness, that I feel really bad about myself.
And it seems like there's a lot of pressure to curate our online selves, sometimes with just one alternate version to our real lives. There's one college student you talked to who talked about how she had 17 different, Facebook groups. So, okay, this is for the people at church back home. This is for my fellow students. This is for, and so on and so on.
Yes, I remember that interview because I remember thinking, this sounds so exhausting.
Yeah.
But, you know, all of the students talked about, you know, their audiences, like plural, their publics, plural. They, you know, they talked about curating, crafting a post, an image for a specific audience. And, you know, I had students, quite a few students who talked to me about branding. And, you know, one young woman, the first young woman who talked about this with me, she just came right out and she said, well, you know, my name is my brand. And I thought, is it really? So, but the students are getting from their teachers, from school, from college, from us too, from their parents, from their people in their lives who are mentoring them. We're teaching them that, you know, anything attached to your real name is a big deal. Like, you have to be careful with it because, you know, online people can find out things about you. There are employers who may be looking at you, all sorts of people who are watching you. And so, you know, we've really instilled that idea into this generation. And so, you know, they talk about the importance of crafting every single post, the importance of really being careful, you know, who sees which post, because you never know what might happen. You have to be careful of your reputation. Like, I had a student who talked about what she told me was the reputation self. And, you know, that's the self that you have to, you know, curate online because other people are going to evaluate you through it and you could ruin it very easily. And so, you know, I remember when I first got on Facebook a million years ago, when it was first on, because I was at a university and my students told me to open an account. So I did. And this was in the days when people put up everything. And I just remember thinking I really didn't need to see any of this about my students. But now, you know, we've gone way in the other direction. And so you have a generation that is uber careful and who thinks about their posts almost like a kind of job.
Talking to Donna Freitas about her book, The Happiness Effect. It's out in paperback now this month. Donna, you tell the story of some students who, because of one circumstance or another, spent time offline. They couldn't go online. And it sounds like, for the most part, they really liked it. They kind of liked it. They felt like the pressure was off. But when you had the choice of voluntarily going offline, easier said than done.
Yes, I was amazed by how many students who brought up without my asking the struggle that they have with their smartphones, with putting them down, but wanting to put them down. So they're, I would say that this generation is thinking a lot about their usage. I think we make a lot of assumptions about them, like they're just sort of like zombies who grab their phones all the time. And I was really amazed by how many of them had all of these little tricks to getting off their phones. Like, they made deals with themselves, like, okay, when I leave the house, I'm going to leave my charger at home. And when my phone's battery dies, you know, that's it for the day. Like, I can no longer use it. And I had a lot of students saying things like this. And then I had a lot of students who, you know, I would catch them, maybe our interview would be shortly after spring break. And, you know, maybe they went, you know, on spring break someone far away, or they went, you know, camping, or they went on a cruise with their parents and their parents said, you can't use your phone because it'll be too expensive. And so, you know, they were without it for a whole week and they had a lot to say about it. They talked about how, what a struggle it was the first 3 days to not be on their phones. And then pretty much across the board, they talked about how wonderful it was once they got through those first difficult days and how they really dreaded coming back to them. And so I would say that overall, the college students I interviewed really had a love-hate relationship with social media and their smartphones. And, you know, they really work hard to curb their usage. I had students who felt, you know, who would get off Facebook periodically if they felt like Facebook was making them feel bad, or Instagram. And so I'm teaching this class this semester called Life Unplugged. It's a first year seminar class. And in November, my students are going to have to unplug for a week. I'm taking their phones away and we're going to lock them up in public safety. And they keep coming up to me after class and they're like, you're really going to take our phones? And I'm like, yes, yes, I am. And if you can't handle it, you should drop the class. But like, this is what we're going to do. And I just keep telling them it's going to be character building. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it always works when I tell my kids something's going to build character. That's always a winning argument. We're talking to Donna Freitas, author of The Happiness Effect, How Social Media is Driving a Generation to Appear Perfect at Any Cost. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you hearing the story of your life right now, your relationship with technology and social media? Do you worry about how you are using these platforms, or if you're a parent, how your kids are? What do you notice about the way, so whatever age you are, what do you notice about the way social media changes how you feel about yourself or your relationships with other humans around you? Call 800-642-1234. And you feel like you're a different person online versus offline? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Donna Freitas, author of the book The Happiness Effect, How Social Media is Driving a Generation to Appear Perfect at Any Cost. That's out in paperback this month. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you worried about the way you present yourself online? Are you careful about what you post and don't post? Have you figured out a way to use social media without letting it distort your happiness or how happy you think other people might be? Do you unplug or take breaks from social media? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Adam is with us in Madison. Adam, hi.
Hi. I just want to say that I have PTSD, and I deleted all social media because it was kind of like a trigger for that. And I've never been happier.
Adam, how long were you on social media before you hit on this decision to get off of it?
Well, since Facebook was available to college students nationwide.
All right, Adam, thanks a lot for the call and for sharing that story. And Donna, that reminds me, you talk about there's not like a one-size-fits-all approach that's going to work for everybody with social media. Some people, like in Adam's situation, might be best off getting away entirely, but there might be different ways to manage it for others.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It was very rare for me to meet someone like Adam who just completely disconnected altogether. However, there were a couple of students like that. I saw more students who would go in and out of different platforms and in their relationship with their smartphones. But I think the real question for all of us, not just for the generation of students that I interviewed, is, you know, what does it mean to have a healthy relationship with our devices? What does it mean to have a healthy relationship with social media? You know, I don't think these things are ever going away. But, you know, I think that's the question we have to start asking. And I'm not sure we have been asking that. You know, everything is coming at us so quickly. We're all sort of scrambling to try to figure out where we are in relation to it. But I, you know, I start my class, all of my classes with my students now, asking them this question and trying to get them to think about it all semester, because I really do think it's one of the most important questions of our time.
And you go back to ancient Greek philosophy with some suggestions and a pretty famous line. I think that was it. The know yourself was one of the key ways to think about social media.
Well, I think in general, I'm a big fan of critical thinking. I mean, I am a college professor, but I really do believe that we haven't yet, but we need to become critical thinkers about social media and our smartphones. And like, I just had a conversation last week with my students. We talked about the feature on like YouTube and Netflix, where the autoplay feature. And, you know, we talked about how the history of that is that, you know, YouTube put on autoplay and then, you know, there was a ripple effect. Now, like, everything is on autoplay, you know, and we talked about how the reason why companies are doing that and platforms are doing that is they want to keep our attention. And this is a battle for our attention. And my students were like, what? But I thought it was for our convenience. And I was like, no, I mean, it may be convenient, but no. And so they were sort of horrified by that. And I was, you know, these are the kinds of things that I want you to be aware of so that you can make choices around this. Maybe you don't like the idea that, you know, a company is trying to take your attention away, say, from a really good conversation you were having with your significant other. And so maybe you turn that feature off, and that's a decision you make because you need to start making decisions around this as opposed to just, you know, letting it happen to us. And so that's what I mean by I think that we need to become critical thinkers in that way, because once we do that, that's when we get back some of the power. And I think that's when we put ourselves in a position to make decisions as opposed to just sort of let the wave come over us.
Let's go to our callers again. Tom is with us now in Baraboo. Tom, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Tom?
Well, you know, I see a lot of cell phone use, you know, more and more and more. And it just seems a lot of times it just gives me this strange feeling that people aren't interacting with each other anymore. I just saw a young couple, and they're probably tourists, you know, it's Memorial Day. But, you know, they're on their phones, and they're not talking to each other. And I'm walking my dog, and I'm enjoying the real world, and they're in this other world. And it happens more and more, and it's just starting to, I don't know, get creepy.
Tom, thanks a lot for the call, Tom. Is this something you came across, Donna, in talking to all these college students, this worry that they weren't as connected to the real world as they might be?
Oh, yes. I heard it all the time. I still hear it, you know, when I go give talks on campus. I hear it from my own students. And, you know, of course, they talk about it and they complain about it, but then they also do it. So they say that. They admit that. They're like, you know, I hate it, but I also do it. And I think there's just this real struggle with the grabbing of the, you know, of the phone, or just, you know, I just walking around on campus now, or just walking around the city. You know, I live in New York City. You know, at least half the people are, you know, looking at their phones while they're walking. Or if you're on the subway, you know, it used to be that people were sort of all looking around, and now almost everyone's on their phones. And so, you know, I do think, you know, people are frustrated with themselves, they're frustrated with each other, except we have to start making hard decisions or trying to figure out, well, do we really care, you know, about our connection to the real world, or are we just going to succumb? Because, you know, it's on people's minds, they're talking about it, but it's one thing to talk about it, and it's another thing to actually get a hold of it.
Tom, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Donna Freitas, author of the book The Happiness Effect, How Social Media is Driving a Generation to Appear Perfect at Any Cost. Donna, a lot of times I hear two different theories. One is that social media is terrible. Another is that young people today are terrible. Your view on this is a little more nuanced than either of those. There's some positives, I think, you see to social media, and that the college students you talk to see in social media.
Well, I mean, I don't, there's, you know, everyone loves to say this generation, or maybe every younger generation, mm-hmm. is super narcissistic and all of that. And I'm not sure that that's true. I don't really think that that's true. I think, you know, like when you try to take in the fact that, you know, this generation, they really are the pioneer generation for all of this new technology, and it's happening so quickly, and we haven't had a chance to catch our breath. And, you know, I think we should hold back in, you know, judging them so harshly. And I also think that, you know, so many of the things that the students I spoke with that they were struggling with are also things that all of my friends are struggling with, and everyone I know is struggling with, and they're not in college. So I think we're all in the same boat in many ways. But, you know, there were things that the students really loved. You know, they loved getting to take pictures, even though they also had a complicated relationship with seeing pictures all the time, you know, perfect pictures and happy pictures. But they really loved getting to see photos and take photos. They loved the fact that social media could keep them connected to people far away. They loved that it could help you make plans easily. You know, they love GPS. Like, there are things like that. But I think we do have to ask ourselves, though, you know, there are these really nice features. It's really great to call an Uber. But the downside, I think, is pretty intense. And, you know, I find my own students really on the fence about, you know, whether or not they can manage to find a healthy way through. And I've had a lot of students who have asked, since I published the book, you know, is it even possible for me to have a healthy relationship with social media? So I think there is a lot of good, you know, you can be really creative with it, but, you know, we're definitely in that place of struggle right now. So we'll have to see what shakes out.
One trend, Donna, I've seen more recently, I think since your book came out, more people sharing things like their mental health struggles, for example, willing to share that negative or what can be seen as a negative thing in their lives, not that happy picture that a lot of the students you talked to a couple of years ago were willing to do. Is that a trend you're starting to spot?
You know, I really think it depends on how old you are and where you are in life, because I think we've made high school students of a certain age and college students of a certain age acutely aware that anything they post could mean that they don't get into the top college of their choice, or they won't get the job that they dream of. And, you know, they're very sensitive to the fact that any comment could just, you know, do them in. So I would say that I think there are maybe moments in life or even entire periods of life where that is okay. Like, I know that my friends feel more okay doing that, but, you know, they have jobs, they're established in their careers. And so that's a very different place to share those things. But if you're on the job market, for example, or if you're like a high profile person on campus, or you have some sort of high profile position, I think you're thinking very differently about what you post in that moment.
We'll leave it there for now. Donna, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
We've been talking to Donna Freitas. She's the author of multiple fiction and nonfiction books, a university professor. Her latest book, the one we've been talking about, it's out in paperback as of this month. It's called The Happiness Effect: How Social Media is Driving a Generation to Appear Perfect at Any Cost. Well, if you want to share the story of your social media life, if you have this love-hate relationship with it, we would love to hear from you. You can email ideas@wpr.org. or use the social media to share your thoughts. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR.